As a non-commercial educational radio station, KZSC supports free expression of ideas. Please be aware that the opinions expressed are those of the speakers or artists only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the UC Regents, KZSC staff, management, or underwriters. We welcome your feedback on our programming. Please direct your comments to the Program Review Committee at 831-459-4726 or by email at prc@kzsc.org.
All right. So first of all, just welcome and thank you so much for joining us this morning here. We're actually not in KZSC in the little cabin in the woods. We're at my residence. My name is Jet Jaguar, and I'm here with Dr. Funkenstein of Mothership Connection of KZSC Santa Cruz. And we're here with STS9.
What? Yeah. What's up, y'all? Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for coming, you guys, or I guess just joining us
virtually. Logging in.
Where are you guys right now, like individually? Are you guys like, yeah, individually?
Santa Cruz. Yeah, we're in Santa Cruz.
Sick. Oh my gosh. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, welcome. Well, kind of what we always do is like a sound check question, whether like we're in person or not, is what did you guys eat for breakfast this morning?
I had oatmeal.
Ha, two for oatmeal.
Nice.
I had a quinoa bowl with almond butter, bananas, apples, and blueberries.
Ooh, that man. Sounds schmas, like, true Santa Cruz fashion. Right, yeah, we were like, we made a really quick breakfast of Trader Joe's hash browns and like some rice. Some huevos estrellados. It's like rice and eggs with like hot sauce.
Yes.
I'm hungry now. Hungry again.
But okay, so kind of just jumping forward into it, do you guys want to take some time to introduce yourselves, like your name, what instrument you play, or like your role in the group?
Yeah, I'm Hunter. I play guitar and do production.
I'm Zach. I play drums.
This is Alana, and I play the bass.
Thank you, Alana, Hunter, and Zach. So also just like welcome back to Santa Cruz and kind of jumping into it. We're really excited to see you guys perform next week in our own Quarry Amphitheater here on campus.
Oh my God, so are we.
Oh my God, no, I'm super pumped. Have you guys actually checked it out or like had the chance to go see it in person?
Oh yeah, we've been definitely eyeing and working on this particular project for a couple years now. Yeah, you know, because it's part of the school, and you know, wasn't doing a ton of outside shows, and you know, for Santa Cruz, it's such a, there's a little education on it because people are like, the quarry, where's the quarry? You know, never been, you know, they've maybe been to Shakespeare or a graduation or some speaker or something like that. So the venue, we're friends with Jose up there, and just the sheer amount of time, consideration, and energy that everybody has kind of put into kind of, you know, revitalizing that space is next level. So we're incredibly over the moon excited to kind of experience it up there.
Yeah, we're super stoked to have you here, and like especially because you guys like reside in Santa Cruz. And then in terms of like your guys just like connection with Santa Cruz in general, are there any like spots we should know about, like some STS9 like old rehearsal spots, your guys' favorite place to munch at, post, playing music, like anything like that?
I mean, there's been so many of them, but two that come to mind, I guess, is, you know, Zach, you can back me up here. I guess Carpet King in Scotts Valley, you know, the big Carpet King sign in Scotts Valley. That's where our studio was for years, and people would stop by all the time thinking we were Carpet King and just couldn't believe that we didn't have any carpet to sell them. You know, so that was like our thing for a while. And we also had a house, and we all lived in this house in Davenport early on when we moved to Santa Cruz. And we lived there, and a few of us together, and finished one of our albums, Artifact, there. Or, you know, some of the music, some of the writing, we finished at that house and spent a lot of time in Big Basin just being inspired and just being in that kind of really small community, just loving it. Yeah, so those are two that kind of come to mind right away.
Yeah, and to that sounds really interesting. I'm still thinking about the carpet thing right now because wow, it's almost we've been watching like some Better Call Saul. So I'm like, man, is this like some front now or something?
Go find the carpet place.
Right.
That's right. We'll keep that hush hush for now. But yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it was really funny because our friend owned the spot, and it was another way for him to kind of generate income. And Carpet King needed some promotion in Scotts Valley, but Carpet King is so far away from there. It's like all the way in SoCal. It was just always so random and funny.
Yeah, no, speaking of like, you know, the area, like, you know, we looked up and it looks like you guys originated from, you know, Athens in Georgia, not Greece. Yeah. So it's not that far, but like, what kind of happened in terms of like, you know, switching from, you know, essentially like the East Coast to over here in Santa Cruz? Like, did the trees speak to you guys, or what
brought you guys here? So Santa Cruz specifically?
I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, I think we all were looking for, you know, something, and we did a tour where we kind of came out and we played in California. We all took like some vision quests or some, you know, some travel trips after high school, and kind of came to where the mountains met the oceans. And there's not many places on planet Earth where it's like you have the redwoods and then you have these mountains that like literally go into the ocean. So they're definitely, I think, both the trees to the ocean to just, as well, needing something different. I think that this was, I'm sure Hunter can kind of speak as well, but it definitely was beyond just like putting your finger on a globe. There was a calling. There definitely was a connection to this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You know, the nature, I think number one, it was just overwhelming when we first saw it coming from the East Coast, you know, had never really experienced anything like that. And it just kind of immediately felt like home. I can remember being in the van, like kind of coming down, the 17 for the first time, be like, where are we? Oh my God. You know? And the trees are what really, I think the nature, the trees, the story, the action that, you know, around, you know, the history of climate action here, there's just so much to be inspired by. We just fell in love, and we're lucky enough just to have some friends here at the time who had a place for us to stay. And so we came and never left. And, actually we lived in Watsonville for a few years as well. Yeah. We lived down in Watsonville, in this house. We've got a long, you know, we've kind of been everywhere in Santa Cruz County. So it really is home, and some of us have been here, you know, more or less about half our life. So it's kind of, it's been an incredible adopted home, and we're really just grateful to be here.
That's amazing. Like, honestly, everyone who I've met, like whether they're locals from like my job and stuff, or people like who are students, including myself, I'm from over the hill, and everyone who comes here just to visit, go to school here for like a little bit of time, they want to stay and try to find a way to like stay, because it's just like the best place to live. Like, maybe that's just a Santa Cruz thing to say, but like, there's nothing like living in Santa Cruz, like, or just even in the area.
Period.
Like Watsonville, yeah. Davenport, Monterey.
Yeah, especially like, you know, since we're so close to like the hubbub of like the Bay Area, San Francisco, yeah. San Jose. Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of everything, exactly.
Yeah, it's a little tough, and you can kind of like think a little bit more. That's part of the reason I wanted to, you know, end up moving out to Santa Cruz as well. So.
Yeah.
Resonate that.
Yeah. And
that was exactly it, for sure. And part of the, you know, culture in San Francisco and the art and the music and the bands and the DJs that were inspiring us, we just wanted to be immersed in all that. So yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. And like, Hunter, you were talking about kind of like the story of like, you know, the redwood tree, the tree was when you were driving on 17 and just like the Santa Cruz atmosphere. And to kind of like jump off of that, the group name STS9 refers to Sound Tribe Sector 9. And I was wondering, like, when you guys conceived the band back in the late 90s, 98, I believe, what was, like, the idea behind that name? And was there a story, like, fictional, like, a fictional backstory you guys created for yourselves, or a non-fictional story? And how has that evolved to STS9 today?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a great question. Because usually just people ask like, what's the meaning of the name? And it has evolved over time. And it does have, I think, you know, fiction and nonfiction, fiction and nonfictional meanings to us. But the original name, well, we were 18 when we came up with it, so that might explain a little. But, you know, the original sound tribe is like the human tribe, you know, in recognition of those who aren't in the band but inspire us in some way. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of, you know, just in recognition of all of us. And then Sector 9 pays homage to a specific time in Mayan history, which was actually called Bakhtun 9. And it was their more or less renaissance in the 900s. So we were really inspired by that culture, their art, especially their connection to the cosmos and what they were, their writings and art connected to their study of the cosmos. That was huge for us. And then eventually, and also at the time, STS stands for Space Transportation System. It's something that NASA uses for every mission. Like every mission's, you know, from the first to now is STS. I'm not sure where they're on now, but, you know, they're in their way up there. So each mission is called Space Transportation System, whatever the mission is. So that seemed to really resonate with us too, because that's kind of what the music was for us. Mm-hmm. It's transportive. It's and so it's somewhere in between, and all of that still resonates with us today. And I think people come to us sometimes and have their own meaning and come up with their own meaning that inspires me even more. And so we also like to leave it open for interpretation. But that was definitely the roots of the name.
Wow. Okay. And then like, how would you say like today, you know, since 90, how is STS9 kind of evolved? Like whether it's like the group name or you guys' like fictional backstory. And I'm also curious, cause you said you kind of mentioned a fictional backstory. So I'm just wondering if you guys have like some kind of, I don't know, character names or backstory or arc or something that like, whether it's for you guys as a group or like as individuals.
Well, there's definitely a backstory and an arc and an actual kind of story that we are trying to tell over with the music over the course of the albums and the song titles and the messages and the themes of the shows. And I think eventually we're going to collect that into one piece. I'm not sure what that's going to, I don't think we're sure what that's going to be, but that's something that we talk about. But it's ever evolving, but it does start with a really specific thread in each album and song. Everything we do is tied to that in some way. Yeah.
Okay. And then in terms of like a band that's just like, you're talking about different, like compiling all of your past work into one, like, and you guys fit into so many genres. How do you choose the sound for like the next project, or how do you settle on not necessarily like one sound or maybe like a theme or a story or a narrative for that album or for that song? Like what's that process looking like?
Well, I think sometimes the theme or the story chooses us. So it's when we kind of the point in saying that is it's not like, hey, let's sound like this, or we're going to do a concept that's this. I mean that, you know, the music, we kind of get out of our own way and allow the music to kind of help dictate that.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it looks like improv like fits really heavily into whether it's like your recording process, whether you guys are performing live. And like, how do you implement that like regularly or like some, I don't know, like what has improv basically fit into your guys' recording process, or is it more reserved for live performances?
It's definitely a part of the recording process. Sometimes it can manifest in many ways. We have whole entire albums that are just improv albums. Sometimes, you know, we might be together and make something up in the studio and then later go, oh wow, let's make a song out of that. Obviously when we play live, I think that's a matter of like, you know, we have our songs and we like to keep it interesting for fans and constantly evolve songs and surprise them by doing different things with a song that they might think is one way. And so one way to do that is by improvising within it. And oftentimes it will create a whole other journey that we never really expected. So I think we try to use it in many different ways, and it's something that's just a part of what we do and just in life. So I think it definitely comes through at all, in all different aspects of the band.
For sure. And then kind of just to follow up on that, like with the recording process, how has this changed since the pandemic started, and like with touring now, is this your guys's first tour since like 2020, since the pandemic started? Like, have you guys done it a little bit afterhand, or like how's that working out for y'all?
We've done a series of shows. In 2021 we did Red Rocks, and then we did a couple, you know, postponement of festivals and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just for obvious reasons, you know, the world kind of shut down again from December, January ish of 2021 into 2022. We kind of started back up and kind of started doing, you know, just more events like what we're doing, two nights here, three nights there, so that we can share our music with people and kind of create, you know, fun experiences. Obviously in Santa Cruz, you know, we're doing two nights at the Quarry, but there's after parties at Coconut Grove, as well as there's a skating party on Saturday that, you know, the fans are probably going to be curating some STS9 and all that stuff. So trying to just create experiences and events for our fans and for new people.
That's so dope in terms of just like not just being limited to like music necessarily. It's like the experience that you guys are saying, and that evolves with the group as, you know, the years go on. That's so sick.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's been a process.
So kind of just to continue with that conversation in terms of like musical themes, what as a group are your guys' major influences? Maybe when you started back in the late 90s, and then who continues to influence you today? So and then are there any non-visual or like non-musical inspirations, whether it was like movies or like comic books, video games, that just kind of influenced the overall one sound into like visual aesthetic of STS9?
Yeah, it's a great question too. I'll start. I think, you know, people who are artists and musicians who influenced us from the beginning and really still do, there's a handful, like, you know, Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, James Brown, Stevie Wonder, David Axelrod, Boards of Canada, Outkasts, Grateful Dead. I mean, there's just so many that, I mean, we're just, you know, music nerds. we were really just trying to devour everything that we could. And so that, I think that goes back to the very core of the band. Those groups go back to like day one. And we're still doing that. We're still finding new people that we're listening to, and I mean, it's a lifelong, I think, you know, perk of being a human being, that you can just continue to find people to and new things to listen to. So that's, you know, that's something we definitely do and talk about a lot. And, you know, as far as like movies, books, I mean, everything that you said, I mean, they definitely are part of our world and inspire us, whether the sounds and the samples that come from them or the themes and the stories that they're actually telling. And I think art history has a big influence on us as well. Just how we, you know, how we've come to this place in our, you know, in our civilization. This is how we express ourselves. This is what we've left behind. This is what got to here. And we think about that stuff quite a bit. And mythology, just both, you know, classical mythology and the new mythology, you know, what's going to be the new mythology? Because I think that's where we're all in the kind of process of creating together. So, yeah, that would be my answer for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to add something to that, which is just, you know, something that I think we're really influenced by from the beginning till now, and is just this juxtaposition of live instruments and electronic instruments, and how to combine them, how to make them seamless within each other. And I think that's something we're always striving to do. And it's always just been a big inspiration to hear you know, every, you know, DJ Shadow or Kraftwerk or, you know, some of these for us when listening to that stuff at the same time that we're kind of discovering, you know, Bitches Brew or something and comparing them and combining them has been something that we're always trying to like push the envelope on. And it's something that we still do. So when you come to the show at the Quarry, which I know you'll be there, you'll notice that there'll be just these journeys that will sort of evolve. And sometimes that electronic element will be heavier than others. And we try to make it so that it's very seamless. And like, you can't even really tell that there's electronic drums and Zach's playing drums. And there might be, you know, synth bass, but also regular bass or samples, but also singing. So it's just kind of all over the place. And that's just something that's always been, you know, we're trying to really like push the envelope with that.
We grew up in the mixtape era, and I think that's kind of how we, you know, I don't know, that's how we are accustomed to listening and became accustomed to creating our own music. It's just kind of have that these flows and connections that might seem disconnected, but it's all connected. And so, yeah, trying to make those connections and being heavily influenced by dance music, just for a lack of a better way to say it, and wanting, but being, you know, but playing musician, you know, playing instruments and wanting to play that music on our instruments and not rely completely on the electronic side of that, which we also love just as much. It was just like, okay, we've got these instruments. We want to play this music. We also want to, you know, be able to sample and do some other things. We don't want any limitations. And so we've tried to do our best to build this system that allows us to do these things that we want to do, but it's still free and buoyant and flexible. And we can break out of it and come back into it seamlessly and fluidly. So yeah, that's a big part of it for sure.
Cool, okay. And then kind of jumping off of that, this is a bit more of a personal question, but who, like, as individual members, who are you guys just listening to right now at this moment? Like, favorite artists, songs on repeat, albums, stuff listened to while you're touring?
I'll start. Domi and JD Beck, new album is kind of on repeat at the moment. Micaiah McRaven is someone that I'm deciphering the message. That album in particular is something I'm listening to a ton. Yeah, there's two.
Okay.
Let's see. That's tough because it's kind of all over the place, and I'm always kind of stuck in my in my ways. But you know, like definitely, you know, Hunter can attest, we've just been into Kurt Rosenwinkel a lot over the last bit. I'm just kind of obsessed with his music. He's a guitarist. And Anderson .Paak for me has been somebody over the last couple years that I've just been like really devouring all his records. And you know, last week I kind of got into the new Beyonce records. I was kind of checking that out for a minute. So it's kind of all over the place in terms of genre, but I also am pretty stuck in my jazz ways. So I'm constantly listening to jazz Miles and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm listening FKJ. I've been listening to Masego.
Nice.
I'm kind of super into Fred again. I've gone down the rabbit hole of his whole kind of his process, and I think it's just his artistry is pretty cool, how he's kind of doing his process, and I'm into that. So those are my three right now. And honestly, Silk Sonic, dude. Silk Sonic is just insane.
Oh yeah,
that's definitely been on repeat.
You guys are kind of dropping a lot of like instrumentals, whether it's like Miles Davis or like FKJ. And it's interesting how that translates into your guys' music, because from what I've listened to, it sounds like vocals are kind of not like the main attraction of your guys' music. It's more instrumental. And when you guys do have vocals, it seems like it's like a sample, or like, correct me if I'm wrong, or kind of just like a small tidbit of the whole song. And I'm just curious, like, what made you guys kind of want to go in that direction, like to focus more on instrumentals versus like have vocals, or like not really as big as a focus in vocals?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that was the music when we started as a band, that was the music that we loved the most. Was it was mostly instrumental. I mean, we all love pop music and great songs and great singers and great vocalists, but we were none of those things. And we just wanted to, you know, play our instruments and create a create a vibe, create a feeling, create this momentum musically. That was mostly a conversation between the instruments themselves. And we were pretty, you know, strictly instrumental for a long time, and then got to a point where we just wanted to have moments where a vocal came in, and you just we just craved having a vocal at certain parts of our songs. And it started to come about kind of naturally, just like, oh, we've got this thing. I think it started mostly as sampling, and, you know, trying to find a, you know, more obscure samples that maybe people hadn't heard or not many people had heard, and flip those in unique ways. And then that got into even starting at Artifact, one of our oldest records. We started to reach out to two singers and vocalists to collaborate with. And so that's more what we're doing now. We still sample vocals. I mean, one of our newest songs has, you know, a number of sample vocals in it, but it also has Alana singing too, which a lot of people don't, you know, most of our fans don't know. But so, you know, now we've got a band member who's singing parts too, and it's amazing. We're going to keep pushing her to do that more because we loved it so much. We can't quit talking about it. So that's, you know, that's something that's been really cool. So it's really all over the place, and we will do anything if it serves the vision, and it serves the music, and it serves the story and the art. Nothing is off the table in that realm. And so that's kind of how we approach it.
Yeah, that's super dope. And like, we're also really looking forward to hear you're singing Alana next week. That's gonna be so sick.
Well, the cool part about it is that you won't know, because I won't actually be singing, but I did sing on the because like I'll sing in the studio, and then you know, Hunter might take it and sample it and, you know, make it awesome. And I think it's a good way for us to approach it, you know, like even sampling ourselves. Like, we sample our kids. Our kids are all over our songs, you know? And so we feel comfortable in that realm of just sampling. So we thought, well, let's just sample ourselves even, you know? So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, that's dope. I was looking you guys up on Who Sampled, just cause I'm a big sample fan personally. So I saw you guys were sampling yourselves. I'm like, okay, that's pretty tight. You don't have to work with.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
Finding a hard or a weird a hard time trying to figure out a way where you guys end up, like, you know, calling each other out for like sampling each other or whatever, but you know, I guess that's one less thing to worry about, right?
That's right. Well, it's funny you say that, because we'll be in the studio and an idea will come up. Like recently, there's a song we've got, it's called Balancing, and it was like, I had this part, I just started this thing and this beat with it, had this little modular loop. And that's kind of what it started from. And Pips was like, what is that? And I was like, that's you. That's your modular.
Yo, who is this?
Yeah, like, who? He's kind of looking at it like, what is that? Oh my God. You know, kind of side eye. I was like, no, that's you, bro. And so we do that all the time. And, you know, yeah, with everybody. So yeah, that's a cool part of it.
No, seriously. Yeah, I've to kind of prep for the interview and all of that, we kind of were looking at some live shows, and I'm really excited to see a lot of this, you know, live, because of the use of, like, you know, lights and all of that. I feel like that's just for, especially at the quarry, it's gonna be
a cinematic experience.
Yeah. And
yeah,
on that subject, like, you know, for shows, you know, other than, like, you know, doing sound checks and your typical, like, stuff, like, you know, what do you guys have any, like, pre-show rituals or funny little things that you got going on, you know, the past,
like,
20 or something
tour
years?
I think for each of us, it kind of, you know, for each of us, it takes a little different to kind of get prepared for what we, you know, what we're about to embark on. For all of us together, there definitely is just kind of warming up, going over last minute things that we kind of have to go over. And then there's definitely a moment where we all kind of connect in together and kind of get on the same page. We do have a ritual that we kind of breathe together and whatever. I mean, man, as far as tour stories, that's it. Yeah, there's probably so many.
How much that's a surprise.
How long do we have? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, and in Santa Cruz, even, you know, what's so exciting about us playing in Santa Cruz too is just, you know, normally we're somewhere else and we're not even at home, you know, so that in itself is just, I mean, that's going to be just such a gift, mm-hmm. That we, you know, that we get to actually sleep in our own bed and then go play, you know, two rocking concerts in Santa Cruz. So, yeah. I think you think about exciting. That's, I don't even, that probably hasn't happened in 15 years. So that's pretty, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. You know, so that in itself is pretty special.
Oh, wow. That's so exciting. So this is your guys' first show in Santa Cruz in 15 years, like just locally?
It's something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's been a long time.
Is it really? Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Because we played everywhere.
Yeah. We're looking it up and it said that you guys were playing at the Catalyst once before.
A few times.
Yeah, a few times actually. Yeah, you're right.
We played Mose the Catalyst, Alley. We played the Civic, we played Moselle, we played Palookaville.
Palookaville, that's right. That's old school, it's not even here anymore.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I was like, wait, what?
Totally. Yeah, Palookaville was here in like 2000 and like 2002, which was like, I mean, what is it now? I mean, I don't know
is
if
it
you
Indian?
Guys are familiar.
Is it an Indian restaurant? Isn't it an Indian restaurant now?
No, I think it's like Burdell's.
Is that right? Okay. I'm picturing
that. Yeah, I mean, it's down to, you know, because it was right there on the corner. And, but, you know, places come and go. And so, you know, like I know that there's a kind of a new spot. It used to be the Bocce Cellar, but like that's kind of the old, it seems like a Palookaville, you know, different bands are playing at that little Bocce Cellar and it's like, it's kind of a cool spot. So, you know, that was Palookaville for us and the community in Santa Cruz, just how it supported, that was insane.
That's true.
Yep, yeah. We rehearsed in the Rio for a while too, for a few weeks for tour.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That's so dope. Yeah, it's kind of like what you guys are saying about Urbani's. Like right now, I feel like because of the pandemic, the live music scene the live music scene here in Santa Cruz since then has been kind of dwindling, especially with like local shows. It's more
sure.
like commercial stuff you see at like the Catalyst or at the Rio. And then everything has to go over the hill, whether to SF or to San Jose for. But recently in the past, like I'd say year and a half, maybe even less, there's been like a resurgence of like live music. And like you said, like Palookaville, like what that was for you guys. Now it's like Bocce's turning to Urbani's. There's so many like kind of student bands and groups and DJs like performing.
Absolutely.
There's still like the revival of four shows are coming back.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And it's
really cool. And Santa Cruz is such an incubator for art, you know, from all the college kids to music, to visual art, to so many more things that it's like, you know, just so grateful, you know, for people to be able to, you know, support the arts, you know, in Santa Cruz. If it's someone making a surfboard, if it's someone doing a mural, if it's somebody, you know, actually playing a show at Bocce's or the Quarry or wherever it is, it's like, you know, just the community kind of supporting that and kind of remembering that how important that is for the community.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, and for the kids just to create art, you know, it's fun. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah. And you guys are like coming back and giving back like to like, yes, your roots, like your hometown, like, you know, the root of STS9 and being in Santa Cruz, but now you're gonna be on campus at like the brand new Quarry Amphitheater, like performing, like there'll be students there too. Like, that's so cool. It's kind of like the cyclical thing.
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah. It's amazing. We're super grateful.
All right. So just kind of wrapping up.
Yeah. It looks like we're getting a little short on time. We got a little less than 4.5 minutes. Before we get booted off
the Zoom, Zoom basically.
But
you're done.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah, if you want to talk to him, you got to see him next week. to close things off. Yeah, you know, is there any like upcoming projects or little side, you know, projects that you guys have going on that we can look forward to, or are you guys just kind of focused on the touring right now of stuff that's already out for you guys?
We are
no. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
We are multitasking. Go ahead, Hunter.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's right. You know, we're incredibly focused on the shows that we have coming up, and we're about, you know, 90-95% done with the new album. So yeah, we're like right on the cusp of having a new album that we're just insanely excited about. So that's pretty much it right now.
Oh, is
Untitled.
There? Yeah, Untitled by STS.
It's got a working title. It's got a working title. Yeah, yeah, at the moment.
Another cool thing we do is like we release all of our shows and everything we do on our Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. And so you can look for that, but like, you know, we'll play a show and the next day it'll be up on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. Including like really special like in studio things that we do, like where we'll
exclusivities to Bandcamp.
Yeah. Yeah, exclusive things that just go to Bandcamp, that you know, recordings from our studio or different things that we've done, you know, throughout. And then, you know, all the records are on there as well. So definitely check that out, because you can find anything you're looking for there.
Yeah, absolutely. I've one of the kind of general consensus on the internet when I was looking you guys up was that, man, like, sure, you can see their master recordings, but when you see them live, it's completely different.
Like, it's so, an experience.
It's good to know I can, you know, go to a place to, like, actually, you know, tune into some of that stuff.
On a catalog of all of the live performances.
For sure, and that is so true. Yep.
Sick. Well, okay, I think we're coming up right on, like, the 2-minute mark. But thank you so much, you guys, for coming.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys for taking the time.
Thank you.
You know, honestly, you know, we've been listening to your radio station for 20 years. So it's excited to kind of connect with you guys and you guys show us some support and right back at you. You know, my daughter listens to you guys, and it's just, so thank you guys for taking the time and supporting, you know, live music, supporting the quarry, supporting music and the arts in Santa Cruz. So super, super grateful and stoked to kind of share with Santa Cruz community.
Yeah,
for sure. It's really cool to talk to a couple like Santa Cruz like locals, honestly, just about this kind of stuff too. It's like when we found out you guys were from like at least based in Santa Cruz for a really long time, we're like, whoa, just a couple like locals too, like at the end of the day.
Yeah, you guys is like kind of story of like how you fell in love with Santa Cruz, like it really resonates with us, honestly. As like people that made, you know, are making this place their home and kind of having that you know, attention to like the detail and like having you know, the next generation and anybody in mind is really cool, because you know, we feel that way a lot too.
Absolutely, we're so blessed to be here, and that's exactly how we feel, and just want to do our part to hand it over in better shape than it was. So thank you for having us. It's great to talk to y'all. Let's hang out sometime. I mean, if y'all come to the show, please come backstage and say hello. We'd love to meet you. Just thanks again.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you guys so much. This is Jet Jaguar and Dr. Funkenstein with KZSC. And we're closing out with Alana, Hunter, and Zach of STS9. Woo!
Yes.
All right, guys.
Friday.
And Saturday. Yeah, have a great weekend and see you next week.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you, y'all. All right.
Thanks so much.
Much love.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good one. Take care.